Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
We know!
Steeler Nation, flip that calendar, because where I'm at and on this day that this show is being recorded, it is July 1st, which means we are half of the way done with 2019, but the Pittsburgh Steelers 2019 season is only 24 days away from getting started in training camp, and I am jubilant. I don't care how hot and humid it is outside. I'm feeling all cool and collect and loving life. Do you know who else is loving life? My good friend Tony DeFeo from Behind the Steel Curtain. Tony, how are you?
Good evening, Brian. Happy Monday. It's a beautiful day in Crafton. It might be hot, but I have central air. I hope you do too. And I can't wait to discuss more Steelers football. And you're right. I can't believe it's July 1st, and we have 3.5 weeks to go, and we'll be able to talk about training camp and who's going to make it, who's not going to make it. I can't wait.
You're darn skippy about that. And yes, I have central air, but recently I've been doing, for audio's sake, before we change formats, and we are going to be changing formats in a few weeks, and there'll be more about that in the weeks to come. But just for audio's sake, I'm hanging out in my car, air's on, I'm feeling good. I'm looking at a blue sky right now. I tell you what, I love it. And you know what else I love? Being a part of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com and the best group of fans out there. Very knowledgeable fans, fantastic fans. And if you're joining us, we are glad that you are, and thank you very much. Our call-in number, as always, is 347-850-8581. We would love to hear from you. So, Tony, with that being said, 24 days, and we're looking at training camp. You can't beat that. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And the news right now, the news on the Steelers front is really quiet. And that's also a good thing. The only news that you're hearing out of the Steelers right now, it seems like just a bunch of people holding hands and singing Kumbaya, Tony. That's the good feeling that I'm getting from this team. Do you agree?
Yeah, I've had that feeling for a while now. I've been impressed. A couple months, first 2 or 3 months of 2019, the off season were quite tumultuous, as we both know. And they've really rebounded from that and they seem to be closer than ever. Of course, you know, it remains to be seen but as of right now, they seem to be preparing for the training camp with a positive mindset, the best mindset we could have possibly asked for.
Well, you know what? At the beginning of the year, I was suffering PTSD, and the reason being is because you mentioned tumultuous. My first marriage was very tumultuous, and that doesn't even hold a candle to what was going on in the first couple of months of 2019 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We had – life was awesome in that marriage compared to what was going on here. The ugly divorces with most notably Mr. Big Chest, Antonio Brown. Now I'm feeling kumbaya because I am been remarried for the last 12 years. I'm feeling great. And that's the way I feel like the Steelers are. They have a team-first attitude. They're feeling like they're united. And that's what you want out of this team. And the fact that there's no news is good news. We're hearing nothing. We're hearing nothing about injuries right now, knock on fake laminated wood in my car. And but with that being said, part of me is waiting for the other shoe to drop, and the other part of me is thinking maybe they turned a corner. Do you feel like this whole organization was so done with what happened, and they have, like, it's like a light bulb that has come on, and they feel that they are best when they work as a unit? Do you feel that they have that feeling, Tony?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've talked about it a lot, about how they shouldn't be talking so much, and that was a big part of their problem in recent seasons and recent off seasons. Too many quotes, too many things that could be taken and blown out of proportion. Too much activity and, you know, off the field that wasn't very popular, and the way they've drafted the past several seasons with, you know, bringing guys in like T.J. Watt, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, just high character guys. I think it's going to naturally and organically, you know, evolve, and it's going to be a completely different locker room, maybe one similar to the one that they had in the OOs whenever winning championships and going to the Super Bowl every other year. So, you know, we'll see if that happens. But as far as the atmosphere and leadership, you know, like the character of the team is definitely, it seems like it's taken it's gone in a positive direction.
Okay, Tony, we'd like to do fact or fiction sometimes here. I'm going to throw fact or fiction out at you with a bold statement that you can answer in your own way. And it's going to be simply this. Fact or fiction? Sometimes when you have a situation that you draft high-character guys is more risky than taking a risk on a low-character player. Fact or fiction?
I think that's fiction, because I think when people think high character, they for some reason they automatically assume that their talent level is going to be less. But I mean, there are so many great guys in the NFL. I mean, for every knucklehead, you know, in the NFL, there's dozens of great and super talented football players who are also great off the field and you know, never get in trouble, never do anything to embarrass the fans or embarrass the coach or anything. So yeah, I think that's fiction. I think, you know, just because you're a high character guy doesn't mean you can't be a great superstar football player.
Okay, Tony, I'm going to put you on the spot because we have not discussed this beforehand. Name three low character guys currently on the Pittsburgh Steelers roster.
Three low character guys. I mean, this isn't my Steelers bias, but I can't really think of three guys that are low character.
You know, I'm trouble doing so as well. I really don't see any low character guys on this team. The only guys that I could think of that anybody wants off the team is basically for performance. And that's it,
right?
Because one of the main guys that they want off the team because the performance is Artie Burns. And Artie Burns is a high character guy, and you could say that, you know, okay, there's a high character guy that didn't work out, but for every Artie Burns that has not worked out at this point, I could give you a T.J. Watt, a James Conner, a Juju Smith-Schuster, a Terrell Edmonds. Now, a lot of people, I mean, some people are a little down on Edmonds right now because of his rookie year, but I don't think – I'm one of the few that really didn't think that Terrell Edmonds had a bad rookie year. I thought he had a rookie year, and that there's a lot of growth and potential with a player like that. So that's something that I think that he's a high-character guy with – pretty much the most snaps besides Sean Davis on that entire defense in 2018. And that's a guy that can only build on that performance. So I'm really not buying anything that anybody's saying about that guy having poor performance. But you going back to it, I mean, the only low character guy that anybody could accuse a Steeler player of being is maybe Ben Roethlisberger for some of the things that happened way back when and some of the accusations, the alleged crimes that I'm going to say alleged because he was never convicted of, and that's always a very unpopular thing to say, but he's the only one. But if you look at his body of work off of the field the last 10 years or 12 years, he's been a model citizen. So I really don't even think you can accuse him either. But if I have to play devil's advocate and I'm talking to a fan of any other team in the league that does not know what we know, they might throw him out. So with that being said, I feel Ben Roethlisberger is a high-character guy, and I'm going to speak for you. I'm pretty sure you feel the same way, Tony.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody deserves a chance, and he got that second chance. He was almost traded from the Steelers, you know, and he was suspended in 2010, and he's a family man. He's been a model citizen ever since. And as far as was going to be that way, just like if you talk to a Steeler fan, you said Ray Lewis, what's the first thing they're going to say? They're going to talk about, you know, what happened in 2000 or 1999, being on trial for double murder and ultimately being found guilty of obstruction of justice. So he's always going to be in so many fans' eyes, he's going to be linked to that, and Ben's going to be what he was linked to. So we're going to change. All you can do is move forward, and Big Ben has done a great job of moving forward, and he's a model citizen now. So that's all you can do is let go of the past and move forward if you choose to do so.
Plus, you know what state I live in, don't you, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
You know
I
the state
that, what'd you
that
say?
I live in, don't you? You
oh,
know
yeah, Maryland.
What state
oh.
I live in.
Absolutely.
So I hear there's purple Kool-Aid everywhere here, even though there are a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans in this area. A lot of them, when the Colts left town in the Mayflower truck on March 31st of 1984, a lot of people were really upset. I was not living in Maryland. I was living in Western Pennsylvania at the time when that happened. But people were upset, so a lot of those fans moved to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they moved to the Washington Redskins at that time too. And that was a perfect time to go to both teams, because the Steelers ended up in the AFC Championship game a year later, and you had the Redskins that just came off of a Super Bowl victory and a loss in the Super Bowl as well just 2 months before that. So those were two hot teams. So that's where a lot of the loyalties went to. So a lot of the them did not go back when Purple and Black came to town back in 1996. So with that being said, it's really interesting. In the town that I live in, there's more Steeler bars than there are Ravens or Redskins combined. So there's a lot of Pittsburgh loyalty in the state of Maryland, and so I see a lot of that. And it's something very interesting too. We were talking about Ben Roethlisberger and a lot of things that he does. I live probably about an hour to 15 from M&T Bank Stadium. I live about 3:15 from Heinz Field, and the town I live in, the police department has two Ben Roethlisberger paid for and trained police dogs. So I think that's a testament to how far his reach is and some of the things that he does. So I kind of think that's fantastic as well, Tony. But with that being said, here's the big question. And the big question that we need to ask is, Can this kumbaya feeling continue in 2019 once camp starts? You're in the sweltering heat of La Trobe, and you have offense going up against defense, and tempers could possibly flare. Do you think at that point that kumbaya ends?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's only natural that you're going to have a few scuffles during training camp. Like you said, it's going to be 90-some degrees. Because since last training camp, and you know, these are competitors. I mean, these are competitors, and they live for this stuff, and it's only natural for somebody to get overly competitive, and but as long as it doesn't turn into a big brawl like they had in 2000 in the locker room with players throwing chairs, and you know, as long as it doesn't turn to that, I think you know, you can move past a little scuffle during training camp. So I think you can continue that, and I think it could bring them even closer, because you could build respect for one another by being that competitive, and then getting past it and
Okay, I think you dropped out there just a tad there, Tony. But I agree what you're saying. But I think they get past that once. That's going to be natural for heat, natural for camp. I know how my kids are with each other in the summertime. In fact, we try to schedule camps opposite weeks so they're not home at the same time. That might be just bad cop-out parenting, or that might be the greatest idea ever. But sometimes they're at each other's throat, but when it comes down to it, they're united, they're family, and that's the way that I feel that the first Steelers of 2019 are united in their family, and I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. But I do have a request. Anybody that is ranking the Steelers during the 2019 season, you have my permission to go ahead and rank them at 32nd. Maurice Jones-Drew, please keep spouting your mouth off about how bad this team's going to be, how they're going to be 7-9, and how badly they screwed up the Antonio Brown situation. Guys, please keep doing that. In fact, I'm begging you to do that, because we've talked about this all along. The Pittsburgh Steelers, under Ben Roethlisberger, under Mike Tomlin, are a very good chip-on-the-shoulder team. And when they're mad, and when they're feeling disrespected, they go out and beat you. And they beat you bad. And they beat you smart. And that's really what you want out of this team. So I think kumbaya continues. I really think that this is going to be a special season. I'm not going to go ahead and put another ring on the finger. I'm not going to Beyonce it right now, which, you know, I was hoping that you would jump in and sing the chorus. Do you remember when that song came out? I believe it was like 2006, 2007, and then in 2008, somebody in Pittsburgh did a parody of, instead of Single Ladies, they did the Steeler Ladies, and something about putting another ring on it.
I don't remember that. I can see that though.
Yeah, it was out there. I bet you, if you Google Steeler Ladies song, you would probably see that. That's number one on the Yinzer Hit Parade, and I from way back then. And then Black and Yellow came along, and I still have issues with that song because it's black and gold, and it's not black and yellow. With Khalifa, I appreciate it. I appreciate all you've done with that song, but it's still black and gold. And I'm that's curmudgeon old man, get off my lawn, Brian, coming out and saying that, but it's always going to be black and gold for me and for a lot of us. So one of the few things that I am a stickler for is black and gold. And don't give me any of the black and yellow stuff. In fact, I think if you take a black and yellow sign into the stadium, it should be confiscated. Like the WWE used to confiscate fans' posters way back in the day. But with that being said, the kumbaya feeling is continuing in the offseason of BTSC as well. And this is great. You know, if you look at BTSC and you look at the headlines, and I'm going to read a sample of the headlines, and this is what you want before training camp, okay? You don't want Will Le'Veon Bell show up. You don't want dissension. You don't want anything of that. You want, check out how the Steelers' 2019 rookie class is rated in Madden NFL 20. You want, Ryan Shazier believes Steelers will win both AFC North and Super Bowl in 2019. The first one was written by Jeff Hartman. The Shazier one was written by Simon Chester. You want this one. You want one that was done by Flip Fisher. And I got to tell you, Flip's profiles, if you haven't checked them out, his Pittsburgh Steelers 2019 player profiles are fantastic. Go ahead and check these out because they're giving you some insight on players that you don't know. And he's taken all of these players, I mean, down all the way to 91 on their preseason roster. This one is about a local guy, Drayvon Askew Henry, who has a very good chance to not only make the team but be the BTSC Isaac Redman Award winner this year at safety. So he's one of those guys that can make it, and it's good profiles. If you look, I did an article statistically and historically, who are the Steelers' toughest teams to beat? That's one that I was really proud of, and it looks at every single team. And then I did another one on who do they have the toughest time with and their all-time records. And I don't know if you had a chance to see that one, Tony, but I went ahead and I said based on these records, they're all-time records, but taking away one for the fact that they're tied with the Patriots overall 16-16, but they've only won 5 out of the last 16 or so against them, that you need to go ahead and give that win to them. But if you look at it, they, based on historical data against these teams, they could be 12-3-1. I can't remember my own analysis now, but they could be 12-3-1. And I got beat up in the comment section, which I always do because it's ridiculous. And I wrote before I even put down that now this scenario is far fetched, but it very well could be that. But you know, some people read the beginning and the end and not the middle. So, but with that being said, there's a lot of positive stuff on here. So Jeff Hartman, editor of Behind the Steel Curtain, fantastic writing. He does something every Sunday, and I don't know if you had a chance to read this, but it's a letter from the editor. Did you see that this week, Tony?
Yeah, I read that. He about how he got started, and he sort of a question and answer thing, and a lot of people wrote in and asked him questions, and he answered them, and it was pretty cool to read.
Yeah, it really was, and it's really cool to see not only to see how the BTSC machine works, and just to know that we're humans behind here too, and it gets us more in touch with the readers, because if you're reading right now and you're listening right now, you're more of a fan because you're a diehard in the off season too. Now, doesn't take away anybody that doesn't look at Steelers stuff in the off season, that doesn't say they're less of a fan. I'm just saying that you're definitely a diehard though, if you are reading now. But there was a particular comment and question asked to Jeff that I don't know if you got a chance to see, but it's something that definitely raised my eyebrows, and it could have insulted me, and it could have insulted you, Tony, but kind of made me proud, if you know who the two of us are. And you and I are wrestling fans from way back, and so I guess somebody needs to be the heel, and it looks like you and I are the Detroit Pistons of the 1980s for BTSC, because here's the question. Out of Anthony and Brian, who gives you the biggest headache? I mean, when they submit an article, articles in quotes, and you're sitting there bashing your head against the dinner table, or wondering if you could keep another formal warning from SB Nation over content from your wife, who do you contemplate taking out a contract on? Seriously, Brian just looks far too happy in the recent photo he posted, and Anthony, well, what exactly is he doing in this picture anyway? They both seem way too shifty for my liking. Come on, Jeff, fess up. It'll do you the world of good. One of the greatest comments.
That's good.
Les Norton wrote that. And did you not see that?
I saw it, but I think he was being facetious. But if he wasn't,
I don't take it as any offense to it. It's just, it was just fantastic. And so Jeff answered, and Jeff just wrote, Tony has more years at BTSC than I do, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, LOL. And I had to jump in. Tony, I had to jump in because – so this is what I decided to jump in and say. And I do. I resent that equal comparison to Tony. Tony, we've been buddies for 2 years, but I resent that I'm being compared to you this way. And here's the reason why. And this is what I wrote, and I quote, I'm way more shifty than Tony 6 days a week and twice on Sundays. I'm also the biggest headache. That's why I was crowned the Ric Flair of BTSC years ago. And I know you're trying hard to take that Ric Flair title away from me, but Tony, I'm telling you, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo!
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't come anywhere near me at the barbershop because, you know, I have a pretty wicked pretty wicked kick, you know, so I'll just be HBK.
Yeah.
I'll be HBK.
Poor Marty Jannetty went through that window.
Yeah, yeah.
Great, just absolute great stuff. I actually took flattery from that because the stuff that we write is sometimes satire, more edgier, looking for reactions. It's not clickbait, but it's looking for reactions. And I know we've all had reactions. But you know what? If you get a reaction, that's a good thing too. And there's some people that get our humor, and there's some people that think that we're just – that I think one guy wanted to fight you.
Oh, yeah,
recently.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing about it is, and that's the thing, we're all Steeler family. Whether you agree what we write and what we don't, we're all Steeler family, and we're not going to agree on everything, but that's the best part of it. So with that being said, it goes back to the Kumbaya thing. And I like the dynamic that is the 2019 Pittsburgh Steelers. I like the dynamic that is our BTSC community. And with that being said, there's always got to be those two shifty guys, and you and me are shifty. You and I are shifty, excuse me. But what picture is he talking about? What is this something that I haven't seen?
Well, I think you may have been talking about the profile picture I used for a couple of years where – my head was sideways, but that was because I'm bad at technology. I couldn't figure out how to get a picture straight, you know, but then again, maybe he's talking about the new picture that I posted a couple weeks ago. And if he's talking about that, I don't know what he means. Maybe I should have my hands where you can see him. I don't know. that's the picture he's talking about, my profile picture. One of the two, I guess.
Maybe you just need some glamour shots, Tony. I think that's what you need to go ahead and get. We'll have you in a feather boa. Look at all the poetry in this picture.
I'd love to be the heel. I love playing the heel. It's great. Way more fun than the baby face.
it always is. But, you know, leads me to a serious question. We got to see how Jeff got started. We've talked a long time about we always talk about how I got started, how I met Jeff on the playground with our kids. And we got to talking, and I ended up on the site 6 days later, and the rest is history. After I almost quit a couple times in the first 6 weeks because of my third article being a Michael Vick article that the Steelers might consider signing him, and then I got threats, and then another series I had, people were just basically calling me the biggest idiot of all time. And I almost quit, and just like, this is one of those things, you earn your respect here, and you'll get it. And I noticed things shifted. And I do have a lot of respect from the commenters. And I don't feel disrespected at all. The only thing I'll say is sometimes people will write, well, that's a stupid article, why'd you write that? And most of those are Facebook. But Facebook's a whole different animal. The Facebook comments they really don't belong to the community that's BTSC. So, but with that being said, how did you get started, Tony, here at BTSC?
Well, actually, I was I had my own little blog going at the time, and I was writing some article. I forget what it was. It was about like my favorite moments. Actually, I know what it was. It was my favorite. Steelers history that didn't win a title, like, you know, whether it be the Steelers, Pirates, or whatever. And I was doing research, and I found some articles on Behind the Steel Curtain, and I started commenting, and then soon I started writing fan posts. This is back in 2010, by the way, I'm rambling, but it was back in 2010, and I wrote fan posts an entire season, and it was a lot of fun. It was like a tremendous amount of fun to actually be able to write, even though they were just fan posts, and get comments, and and interact with a bunch of different Steelers fans from around the world. And then after Super Bowl 45, that loss to the Packers, about a week later, Michael Curtin, he wrote me a long email asking me if I would be interested in writing on the front page, and I did, and. In 8 years, since 2011, I've been writing on the main page for that long. Jeff's my third editor. It was Michael Bean, then it was Neil Coulong for a few years, and then Jeff. And they've all done a great job, and it made me a better writer, and it made me love. It was like a dream come true writing about the Steelers and writing in general. I've loved both of them. Have been a passion of mine my entire life. So it's been 9 years altogether with BTSC and 8 years on the main page.
Well, I've heard a lot of great things about Neil. I've heard a lot of great things about Michael. Jeff's the only editor that I've worked with here, and I'd probably walk through traffic if he asked me to. That's how much I trust Jeff as just a great editor. He does change my headlines all the time, but he changes everybody's headlines, and he actually put that in this article. But
that's right.
In the comment section, but he's fantastic, and it's amazing to see where BTSC has grown throughout the years. And gosh, I mean, we're seeing about 35,000 readers a day, and we are, as far as our platform of podcasts, through all of SB Nation, it fluctuates, but we, at one point in June, one point we were number 5 overall, if I'm allowed to even say that. If not, we'll cut that. But and that's not just that's just not the NFL. That's in all sports. And you know, SB Nation has a lot of things that they cover. So we have fun doing this. We take it seriously, and we enjoy it. And it's all because of you out there. Not you, Tony, but you're a big part of it. But it's all because of the people that listen, and we thank them for everything that they do for us. So with that being said, about to sign off in a couple minutes, but I want to talk about, I feel like I'm talking about all articles that I do. So I want to mention one of my articles, and Tony, I want to mention one that you do, but thought we'd have fun with this. I wrote an article that came out today, and it's your choice, all 32 NFL teams. You have to choose either a throwback for them. It could be any throwback, any color rush uniform, were one that they just stay the same. And so if you could think of any teams, and let's keep the Steelers out of it. We'll do the Steelers last. But if any team that you think their throwback is the best jersey and would be their best option to go full-time to, which throwback would that be? And I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, no, no. I love this. I have a few. But if I could pick one, it would definitely be the Buccaneers. I wish it would go back to their old one from the 70s and 80s. I love the 70s look for most of these teams. You know, I just love it. So I wish the Buccaneers would go back to the old look with Doug Williams when he was a quarterback, and you know they were 0-26 all those years. That was just a great look, and it was a really popular jersey when I was a kid. The team was just awful, and they're always linked to those jerseys, those bad teams. But to me, that was just a great look, and I wish it would come back.
The Greensicles, but do you realize that team went 9-7 and somehow ended up in the NFC Championship game and lost 9-0 to the Los Angeles Rams? And if they had won that game, they would have played Super Bowl 14 against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I remember that. And the Rams were 9-7 too that year. They were the first 9-7 team to make it ever. Yeah, they had 2 9-7 teams going at it in the Super Bowl. It was in the NFC Championship game, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, for my – I love the creamsicles or dreamsicles or whatever you call them. But for my taste, hate the team, but I'd probably hate them less if the New England Patriots wore the red jerseys with the white helmet with Pat Patriot hiking the ball. I think those are just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I actually mentioned that to a friend of mine last week. He's a big Patriots fan, by the way. He moved here from Boston last year, and he agreed. He said, "Yeah, I wish. I really love those uniforms." So yeah, I think you have at least one Patriots fan out there that agrees with you. It was really a great look.
Let's go to Color Rush, Tony. Of all the Color Rush, and once again, you're on the spot here, so you take your time. What do you think's the best? What do you think a team would go to and look great in?
That's a good question. I like the Chargers ones that they had. Was it all white? I think I like that. I like the Panthers too. I think there's real, and it's on. Of course, the Panthers, their color rush looks almost like their road uniforms anyway. So it's hard to distinguish the two. But I like those two a lot. So that's. I like the Chargers old school uniform, but as far as color rush, I like theirs a lot too. So some of the other ones, like the Ravens, and I didn't like that one. I don't like theirs a whole lot.
I didn't mind the Ravens ones, the purple, because I hate their look now. I like their black look, but when they're wearing solid black. But I didn't mind the color rush Ravens. I'm going to shock a lot of people. This is where people will disagree with me completely. I like the Jaguars all mustard or whatever that gold was all the way down with the black helmet. I just thought those were great. But I'm a big fan of the Broncos helmets of the 70s and 80s and the smoking fucking Bronco in the D. The uniforms, the all orange, they're okay, but that helmet, because their helmet right now is crap. And I love that helmet, and I wish they'd go back. But this is what's really going to shock you. I hate the Cincinnati Bengals jerseys. I've hated them since 1981 when they came out. But their color rush were all white with black tiger stripes down the sleeves and the legs. And with the orange and black helmet, they look really cool. And I'm probably in the minority on that one, but I really like those color rush. But I have just a different taste than everybody else. I hate the Giants uniforms now. The Giants went back to their all-white look, but the red and blue stripes and the red and blue cuffs, and they looked like they did back in the Phil Simms days or the early 80s. They wore the Giants helmet, but even if they just wore the NY helmet, those are just a fantastic look. I would wear those full-time as well. And if you go classic, and I'm going to go first on classic, classic jerseys for me, I'm probably going to go with of all teams, the Oakland Raiders, silver and black.
That's a good choice. And once again, I'm going to join you in being shifty because I'm going to pick a team that everybody hates. But I loved them growing up, but they were in another conference, so it's easier to love them. That's the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys uniforms from the 70s, 80s should ever be changed. It's just a great jersey and just a great look. So I love that one.
It's like,
they should always look like
they're
that.
They're the Yankees when it comes to that.
Yes. Right.
They're definitely the Yankees. And, you know, you don't have to – I hate them. But I wrote that those are the uniforms that they should never go away from. The Raiders should never go away from their uniforms. The Packers never go away from theirs. I put the Chargers in that because the Chargers are going to powder blue officially. But my favorite Chargers – I didn't put this in the article because I kept them in this column – but my favorite Chargers is the Dan Fouts of the late 70s, early 80s, with the blue and the very bright gold and the white around the helmets. The white around the logo, excuse me, those were sharp too. But I can talk about uniforms all day long. I can do an entire uniform show every week out of the year because that's the kind of stuff I enjoy. But with that being said, that was a fun one to write, and it's great because the commenters they're listing all 32 teams and what their preferences are, and it's great, and I'm really having fun with it. So that's kind of the fun stuff we could do in the off season too. And you don't want to be doing this in the middle of November when things are heating up or anywhere in the season, but this is fun to talk about now. What do you have going on the site, Tony?
Well, I wrote something over the weekend about the 90s Steelers and how they sort of happened to me as a sports fan, as a Pittsburgh sports fan, because I grew up in the 80s like you, and our sports teams were kind of blah in those days or worse. So, like, we were just another – our teams were just other – you know, we weren't the City of Champions in the 80s. We were just another team. And in the 90s when Bill Cowher came on and just made them legitimate winners almost right away – that was just a great time. So I wrote about that on Saturday. And then just today, before I came on the air, I still have to go back and look at it again, make sure everything's spelled right so I don't get crap for that. But I wrote about my favorite win of last year, which was a win over the Bengals in Paul Brown Stadium. I really loved that win. And Antonio Brown was the hero. So it was just a really great day. And so that's what I have going on right now.
Oh, that's awesome. There were some great moments in 2018. It's a shame that everything went down the way it did and the season ended the way it did. But, yeah, there were some fun, fun moments, like that game you're talking about in Paul Brown Stadium, the one in Jacksonville, the way that game ended. There's so many cool moments. And getting back to the title of the show, can Kumbaya continue? Well, if you can – get those great moments that happened last year. And, of course, Antonio Brown's not going to be a part of it, but you get those great moments, and you combine them with a positive attitude and a sense of community and a sense of team, great things can happen. Remember, when you have a chip on your shoulder, but it's not against your teammates, but it's with your teammates, and you share that chip against the world, great things sometimes happen. And you hear that quote all the time. I can just hear Ben right now in January saying, well, no one believed in us, and here we are. And that's what I'm really hoping for. And that's why I'm hoping Kumbaya continues, and I really think it's going to be. Even though we're the bad guys, Tony, I'm glad to be a part of this community. And we could be the heels. We need to come up with a good tag team name, and we got to start doing more heel things. Or maybe we get two more guys or two more writers, so there'll be guys, two more writers, and we just become the four horsemen of BTFC. I am calling Ric Flair because, once again, woo, I am the Ric Flair of BTFC. we'll have to come up with something. Maybe that'll be a thing for the listeners and the commenters to come up with our come up with our tag team name as BTSC Heels. Or we could just call ourselves the Bad Boys, like the Detroit Pistons, and we'll just change our theme song. Instead of Renegade, we'll just have a little inner circle going on. Bad Boys, Bad Boys, what you going to do? What you going to do when Tony and Brian write about you?
Okay. That's right.
We got to stop with that. We're losing. People are dropping out like crazy. So with that being said, Tony, thank you as always.
Thank you, Brian. It was a fun show. And for future reference, I wouldn't mind being Arn Anderson. So we'll have to work on
we'll
that.
We'll be enforcer. Yeah, Tony, you've got enforcer in you. I mean, that's good. I like that. You can be the enforcer. So, and those were the main guys. Those were the ones that stayed in there the longest. So we'll have to think about that. We've got I'm the nature boy. You're the enforcer, and we need to get two more to fill out our horsemen at BTSC. Maybe we could turn Dave Schofield to the dark side. We'll have to work on that. But with that being said, for Tony DeFeo, for BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. We thank you for hanging out with us. And my friends, you just got hung over. Good night.